time now. And I'm to witness. The awesome a crushing fighter. Of the U.S. Robinson Show.
Welcome, my friends. Bob Farley, Bob Riley. Send us in as he has every week. 2007, this is version, I mean, a 3, a 0. There we go. He's a very obvious showstopper. My name is DJ Slop, I'm your host. Now, lots to talk about today. The fight, This is good. As well as death and more death. All on TO70, just on so dumb. The first one, Bob Riley CSN, as he has been against since 2007. Intro All of Nothing. Mr. Wada CD. Yeah, Paul of the Junk. I have one around here somewhere. Still available from Revelation Records. Huntington Beach, California. Get your call with a hammer. Then you get to the nightclub. And your mayor pro tem, ridden out of town on a rail to open up a substance restaurant in Central California, who was also close to declaring himself totally broke. That's what happened to Huntington Beach. Listen, listen well.
I'm on my way back to nowhere.
I'm taking a real good look at you.
This has been a hell of a week, and I, for one, am glad to get beyond it. I'm glad to be alive and to have gotten beyond it. People are texting me right at the beginning of the show. That's all right. So anyway, let's do. Oh, look, a little picture of Popeye. Pet Friends over the years. Given my record with Pet Friends, that could be an ominous screen share. So I will not share it with you. But, you know, I haven't really figured out this iPhone yet, as you can imagine. So weird stuff pops up all the time. In fact, I was at an event, a gala, black tie event last night, and turned the heat off. And one of the guys from jiu-jitsu, his 13-year-old daughter babysat for us. And he, there you go. And he said very kindly, cleverly, and showing that he's got a good deal of visual acuity, said, "My God, you look like a vampire." So that's where I went last night. But during the course of the evening, somebody asked to see a picture of something on my phone. And I wasn't prepared, you know? I wasn't prepared. And what I mean by prepared is, if you know you're going out in public and you know also that you're about to say something that people say, "Oh, show me," then you gotta have edited your photos, right? So, you know, I got a picture of the band here, a picture of some guys at jiu-jitsu, you know, and then, there you go, a picture of the wife's ass. I mean, you know, and it wasn't that I gave a shit whether they saw the wife's ass or not. That's not the issue. The issue is that if people expect that you will edit your photos before you say, "Hey, take a look at this photo," right? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Jimmy is no way to go. So if you say, like, "Hey, show me something," and you show somebody something, and it ends up being a photo of your wife's ass, they start looking at you like, "Oh, I get what you're going with this. It's an invitation." And it was like, absolutely not an invitation. I was just overcome with enthusiasm for showing pictures of this thing that I'm building in Spain. So I had to quickly get to it. And then, of course, you can see I still haven't edited the photos. And by virtue of the fact that I've showed it to you means maybe that you think I'm all inviting you into some kind of outre sexual scene. But that's not what's happening. not what's happening. But anyway, you know, this is all, last time I got picked up for, to serve as a, in a cuck scenario, I was at a bar minding my own business. Man, this is like 5 minutes into the show I'm into this. And, 5 minutes, I'm sitting there taking a drink and, a couple sees me from across the bar and they're like, "Hey, come over, you know, hey, okay, I know you come over here. I don't want to get up and walk. Maybe I can't walk." And they invite me up. And, you know, you don't know where you're going. You don't know how, but there's a subtle thing, you know, and if you're not tuned to it, and I have to honest to God say, the person who got me tuned to it was none other than Mr. Marcus, the luckiest black man in America. And he said, "You got to really listen to what people say." And from that moment on, I started to really listen to what people say. And it's disconcerting in the extreme. It's really, you know, it's like Jake LaMotta said in Raging Bull, "You yourself don't know what you yourself just said." You know, I had some woman make the claim publicly. She said, "I never wanted to be that way with Eugene." And I said, Exhibit A, let's look at the facts. You invited me over to the house where you were house sitting. You put logs on the fire. You said, "Excuse me for a second." You went upstairs, changed into no clothes at all, came back and said, "Oh, it's cold," and curled under a blanket with me. Now, you know, I'm kind of on the spectrum about this kind of stuff. I was like, "Oh, I guess this is just kind of what friends do." I wasn't getting it. So I was just like, "Oh, it's kind of cold, but you put some more logs in the fire, you'll be okay. I got to go." No, you don't listen to what people say. You know, they say like, "This is what I'm saying." So I got up and I fucking left. What I say? She's clearly getting ready for bed. 19. So fucking, and this is coming through Coke, you know, Studio 54 and all of that weird shit. I just, you know, I'm a simple man. You guys just lay shit out for me. And then she later went on the height of indignity to tell people, "I never want to be that way with Eugene." Really? What the whose face are you trying to save at that point? You know? So in any case, just to cut to the punchline of that story. Yeah, I ultimately did end up putting it in the hole, but it happened later when I was wised up. Stupid SOB. Anyway, so let's go back a little bit. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, RP's got it right. How do I know it's not what she does every day? That's just could be, you know, the way she rolls. Yeah, you got me. So go back in the week, and if you remember the Substack from last week, it was about Steve Shaughnessy. I have no funerals before time, and I don't like to share the misery on Instagram. Your mother, father, sister, dog, cat died. It means nothing to me. It means nothing to me. What means something to me is people who I know. So, but I'm not going to share, force it on you. Why should I do that? So I go by and see Steve, and, you know, I can tell you, cut the Reader's Digest version of last week's show, stick my head in. I don't go to front desk, stick my head in the door. You know, you see, they say, "Hey, you recognize me?" He's like, "No." I pull up the face mask. He goes, "Fuck, Eugene, how'd you know I was here?" So I say, "I'm going to come back and see you again." He's like, "All right." And they say, the guy who's put me in touch with him initially, excuse me, he says, "They're moving him downstairs." I go, "Okay, I got to go." No. They're moving him to hospice now. Hospice nursing home now. Because, you know, his landlady said, you know, healthcare in America, Section 8 housing in America, ADA shit, whatever. You can't get up the stairs to your apartment when you come back. Can't stay here. You got to go. You got to. "Can you give me a first floor apartment, Audrey?" So that's the point, I think, where he started eating and said, I got to get out of here. But, you know, however, he, you know, his mind was crystal fucking clear. And ultimately, I don't feel bad about it because I feel largely like all of us, those within the sound of my voice right now, we're on a plane that's destined to fucking crash. We're on a rock flying through outer space. Who would you rather be, us or him? Now, collectively, we're enjoying spending this time with each other. We would rather be us. I'm not saying I want to be dead now, but I tell you, honest to God, you know, where he is, wherever that is, doesn't seem like such a bad place compared to this flaming ball of fire that we're, well, and the earth is not a flame, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so I plan to go over there Friday before they move him to the hospice. And then I do jujitsu, I check my messages, and 10:04, I get out of the shower. I'm about to go down to the hospital. Say, don't bother coming, bro. He's dead. Steve is dead. Steve Shaughnessy is dead. And I was like, fuck, that's fucking drags. Steve is dead. So apparently he's got a long lost stepsister somewhere that's handling things. And, you know, who knows? I'm not a really big funeral guy. Last time I went to a funeral was Scott Vollmer, guitar player for Condemned to Death, who got stabbed in the chest by a friend of the guy who's been cutting my hair. I find out long. I had no idea. And I started lashing into the guy. He goes, whoa, you got that story wrong. What my understanding was, my friend Scott Vollmer got into Santa Cruz, found some ska guys, came back to San Jose parties. Ska guy was a black guy, Michael Elrod, the one who stabbed Scott Vollmer in the chest, started a fight with the black guy, presumably under racial pretense. Scott Vollmer, civil rights defender, steps in between them, gets knifed in the chest. That's the story that was in the newspaper. Well, of course, Frank McCourt's brother. Well, you know, Frank McCourt was one of my teachers in high school, and I knew Malachi because of that couple of blackguards show that they did. That's too bad. Yeah, this is trying to live in America. All those hardcore guys I know who moved to Europe can't die in America. He's not dying quickly enough in the hospice. Out. Where do you go after that? Out streets. Fuck you. Now I forgot. There you go. Just in Frank McCord's name completely derailed it. Great book. Angela's Ashes and Tiz. I like those guys. Him and Bukowski. Guys that did it, hit it to 60. Where's the court stenographer? Where was he went to a party? What? It's gone. Whatever the thought was, if you guys are not paying attention, I can't remember. But in any case, Shaughnessy, dead guy, apartment. Get his stuff. Scott, you were talking about. Thank you. So that was the public story that made the newspaper. That made everything, right? The guy cutting my hair says, I'm friends with Elrod. I saw him after he got out of prison. That's not what happened. I go, what? You were my roommate. Why don't you tell me what? Because what happened is, yeah, he did go to Santa Cruz. Yeah, he did meet the Sky guy. The Sky guy was doing what Sorrell comfortably calls black guy shit. Yeah. This is Sorrell. What's black guy shit? He's aggressively trying to fuck the guy's girlfriend, you know? And the guy says, oh, yo, that's my old lady. And the guy, the Sky guy's like, I don't give a fuck. And keeps talking to the old lady. He goes, yo, that's the old lady, my old lady. And so a fight breaks out. Now, I don't say this is something you stab somebody in the heart for. However, it changes the tone and the timbre of the story for me to know that the guy kind of instigated a situation that got Scott Vollmer killed. That's a Brazilian thing. So Vollmer, I went to his funeral and first thing I went to, you know, it was in the punk rock days. I show up and people start giving me shit for the way I'm dressed. It's like, hey, I got a line from SOA, Henry Rollins' first band. They wear boots and they wear leather. They were changing any weather. Never dress up for a show. Look this way when they're at home. I'm not going to go to a funeral. I look the same way as when I go to a show. I didn't have any finery. It's not a snappy dresser back then. So they give me shit about that. But then I'm sitting at the tough guy at the funeral. And then they play the song. then they play a song that I want, of course, played at my funeral. You know, Lust for Life. I fucking lose it. I go, you know what, man? I don't, you know what? I'm not fucking about crying in public all the time and shit like that. I got it. I'm not going to any more funerals. So I'm not going to Steve's funeral, even if his sister calls. There might be some sort of memorial. I remember the guy in my own way. I wrote the Substack and then over and done. Saw him. One of the few people to see him. He said the only people that gave a shit in the latter days were like band guys. So Nico, guitar player for Oxbow, went. I went. Todd Gerson, who's been helping him out for the past 6 years. I didn't know this. Helping him buy groceries and get around town. Steve had the distinction of being the only guy I know who had one key. That's it. He didn't even have a keychain for that key or a key fob. He carried a loose key in his pocket, and that opened his apartment. Had no car, no bicycle, nothing. No driver's license. All I ever saw of a birth certificate was a wrinkled Xerox piece of paper, which allowed us to get into Canada to play the last big tour with us that he played. He played a lot of shows with us. We played with The Damned. We played with The Minutemen. We played with Husker Du. He played with us when we played with GBH. DC3, DOA, the bands that maybe many of you don't know, Toxic Reasons, Personality Crisis. Steve was there, that last big push, you know, post-Ballinger leaving, the last, next to last version of Whipping Boy, and it was that old way. So this show's for Steve. How about that? Pour one out in the ground for Steve. Anyway, so moving on, this was Friday. The wife had the gala event at the Flux Vertical Theater last night. And went to it, had a great time. I had a great time watching my wife. I did it, but I finally figured out something that I was about to these things can be dreary, but let me get to why they can be dreary. I finally figured out that these places, I'll give you an example. Like I started, the first thing that I was majorly interested in life outside of fighting and lifting weights, outside of fighting and comic books, which kind of went together, was lifting weights.
Hey, Showstomper fans. Thanks for checking out this teaser of the Eugene S. Robinson Showstomper. Please be sure to join us over at showstomperpodcast.substack.com to subscribe so you can enjoy the remainder of the show. Every show runs a little over an hour for free on the Showstomper YouTube channel every Sunday when it airs live. To catch the show after that, you will need to become a paid subscriber on Substack to help support Eugene's work and help us to keep bringing these shows to you week after week, year after year. Thank you so much for your support. See you over on Substack.
Tuesday, for sure, we'll be there. It'll be if the shoes fit. We did the new Bad Boss Brief. This is on boundaries. Boundaries. Oh, I should tell a story. I actually am going to tell a story that I couldn't tell because those of you who listen this long deserve it. It's completely filthy. So, but I don't want to do it on Bad Boss Brief because it's a different show. But the whole show, I'm kind of smirking. We already recorded it, so it comes out live this week. I'm smirking. And also, sorry, on the 29th, I forget, I'm on the Mike Watt show. Mike Watt, the bass player for the Minutemen and so on. So at the Mike Watt show on the 29th, 31st at Kiss Kiss in Venice Beach. But the story I wanted to tell was boundaries. So I'm messing around with this woman. And she says to me, this is outre. You don't have to repeat this to anybody else, but I figured that you listen this long, you deserve the story. So she's like, says, listen, as she pulls my penis from her mouth, she goes, out of respect and deference to my husband, she says, after she's taken my penis from her mouth, she's like, I need you to know that all I will do is blow you. And I'd expect you to respect my boundaries.
Good.
I was like, okay. It's fine. Okie dokie. Now, at some point later, in a cheap hotel room, where she's asked me to put together a birthday party for her, which amounts to getting drilled by four guys, three of whom are not me. I'm watching this airtight engagement. If you're part of the world of skin, you know what I mean by airtight. And the thought comes to me like it was on a neon sign. It was like, what happened to those boundaries? I stand in some cheap hotel that I've charged other men to participate in. $20 a piece. High priced. And she's full of penis. I go, what happened to those boundaries? What happened to those boundaries? How do we go from, I'm just going to blow you in your car every now and then, to a full blown, you know, double penetration gangbang? So now you can see why I didn't bring this up on the Bad Boss Brief. So I'm going to end the boundaries. I cannot hear the word boundaries since then and not reference that moment. And now I hope neither will you. Thanks for listening. This is Version 307. We'll see you soon. Live with your baby doll!
Don't die blinded. Thank you.